1. Thank you so much for allowing me the privilege to share the Word of God with you for a few minutes this morning. We all know for a few weeks now, we've been dealing with something that none of us expected. And all around, oftentimes when challenges come in our lives, it's just central to one area, one location. And but this one has affected people all over the world. Most of us don't like challenges. Most of us try to avoid difficulty. We try to avoid challenges, or what I call storms, that come into our lives. We like things to be steady. We like things to be stable. We like things to be normal. We like our security, if you would. We like sometimes to be in control. But the interesting thing is God often brings storms into our lives, and He brings them into our lives to benefit us, to help us. I don't know all that God is doing or going to do through this coronavirus situation, but I do know this: God allows storms into our lives for a purpose. And I want to give you this morning 3 suggestions that I find helpful when a storm comes into my life. And I tell you this, no matter where we are, we're going to have challenges. Life is full of challenges. Last year, our church had a challenge with a fire in a building. And years prior to that, I remember one time a number of years ago where we lost power in our house for 4 or 5 days, and really in our area. And God's going to get us through this particular trial. But while we're in the middle of it, let me give you some suggestions that I find helpful. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at the Word of God, and I want you to see 3 storms in the Word of God that God used in a great way in people's lives. And so we're in Jonah chapter number 1, and this particular story is very familiar. As a matter of fact, all of the stories that we will look at this morning are very familiar to us. I want to begin reading in Jonah chapter number 1, and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But notice what the Bible says here in verse 3, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Now we know this. God told Jonah, "I want you to go to Nineveh." And Jonah actually went the opposite direction. He actually went opposite what God wanted him to do. But the Bible says in verse number 4, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." What do we see? We see the Lord bringing a storm into Jonah's life to wake him up. And the first suggestion that I want to give us this morning when a storm hits your life is to look up, and ask God if God is using this storm to get your attention about maybe an area in your life where things have slacked, maybe some things in your life that need to be better where they ought to be. Maybe your relationship with God isn't where it used to be. When we look at this story, obviously Jonah's doing his own thing. The Bible says in verse number 5, this storm was mighty in verse 4. The ship was like to be broken. It was a storm where it looked like they were going to lose everything. And those trained mariners on the boat were nervous. And the Bible says in verse 7, they were afraid. And they cried every man to his God. They tried to lighten the ship. They cast forth the wares that were in the ship. The shipmaster, verse 6, Jonah's asleep. And in verse 6, the man in charge comes to him and says, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." And they ask him, what is verse number 8? What is your occupation? Where are you from? What kind of people do you serve? And here's what he says in verse 9. And he said unto them, "I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord. And we know what Jonah says in verse number 12. Jonah says, "Hey, throw me into the sea, and everything will be okay." But when we look at this storm in the Word of God, we see this storm is a storm that God brought into Jonah's life because Jonah was doing his own thing. Jonah was playing his own game. Jonah was in control of his own life. And you know, sometimes God's people can be that way. Sometimes we can be asleep. Sometimes we can find ourselves complacent. We can find ourselves apathetic. We can find ourselves not where we ought to be spiritually. We can find ourselves looking to this world and the things of this world to bring satisfaction. And sometimes God will bring storms in our lives because he wants to wake us up. He wants to help us to see that we're drifting. The songwriter said it this way, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And God in his love for Jonah brought this storm in Jonah's life to wake him up. Maybe this morning you're watching and you've never come to a point in your life where you've trusted Christ as Savior. You know, I find it interesting that many of the things that people look to for fulfillment have been closed down. The bars have closed, the bowling alleys have closed, the movie houses have closed. Most everything has closed. And do you know what? God is able to take away the things that we depend on for to meet needs in our lives to cause us to see that he is satisfaction, that he is what this world needs. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 2, we read of a man named Solomon that had all that this world's goods. He had everything the world says that you and I need. With all the money, all the fame, all the popularity, Solomon said this, it was all vanity. It was empty. It didn't do anything to meet the deep need in my life. But what he came to the conclusion was this. He came to the conclusion that that which would meet the deep need in his life was a right relationship with God. When he said, fear God and keep his commandments. God is able, the word of God says, he opens his hand. And he satisfies the desire of every living thing. The scripture says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, he loves you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you'll place your faith and trust in him, you'll ask him to forgive you of your sin. And place your faith and trust in him, he'll give you eternal life. You know, God's plan for us is to have life and to have it abundantly. And it comes when we have a right relationship with him. And so when the storm comes into your life, whatever it may be, obviously at some point we'll pass this and other trials and challenges will come into our life. I think it's important for us to first look up and say, God, are you trying to get my attention? Lord, are you trying to wake me up about something in my life that needs to change? I want you to take your Bibles now, and I want you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 14. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 14, where we find another storm in the Word of God. And I want you to see how God uses this storm to help his disciples to grow spiritually. The first storm was one I call maybe a storm that would wake us up. This is a storm that I think is a storm that grows them. And there are storms that come into our lives that God wants to grow us. And so my second suggestion for us when we have storms come into our lives is not just to look up, but to look in. Are there areas in my life that I need to grow? Matthew chapter 14, follow along as I read verse number 22. The Bible says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. Now notice, it was Jesus that caused them to get into the ship. You see, Jesus knew that they were about to enter into a storm. He didn't shelter them from the storm. He put them into ship. He was going to meet them, and we'll see this in a minute. And he allowed them to go into this storm. The Bible says he constrained them to get in. And to go before him unto the other side. Verse 23. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. So here the disciples are in the midst of a difficult situation. Obviously, they had been trained. They had knew how to navigate their boat, if you would. And they're in the midst of a storm that comes their way, and the Bible says they're terribly afraid. And then Jesus comes, and Jesus says to them, they see him, and they're more afraid. And Jesus says unto them in verse 27, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Now Peter, he decides, well, if it's the Lord, he asks the Lord, "Lord, can I come on thee on the water?" Now, we sometimes fault Peter. We say, because Peter took his eyes off the Lord, and we'll see this in a minute, but at least Peter was willing to get out of the boat. When we look at this, we do need to remember that the winds are still blowing. The boat is still rocking. The storm is still coming down. And Peter decides to get out of the boat, and he walks to Jesus. Now, we know the story, and let me just read it here. Jesus says in verse 29, "Come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried, saying, Lord, save me." Peter gets his eyes off the Lord, and he begins to sink. And we know this. We've looked at this story a lot. But when we think about it, it does teach us something. It teaches something about us and our looking to Jesus in the midst of the storm that we find ourselves. If you look at verse number 31, you will see the lesson that Jesus was trying to teach them. Look at verse number 31. The Bible says, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" You see, the lesson that Jesus wanted to teach Peter, and really the rest of the disciples as well, is that he needed to keep his eyes on him. He needed to keep believing Jesus in the midst of the storm. You know, it's easy for us to exercise faith when everything's going good. When the cupboards are full and there's money in the bank and things are going smooth and we're feeling good physically, it's easy for us. But you know what? When things begin to change, that's where our faith gets tested. And it's easy for us to say, I'm spiritual. But when our faith gets tested, that's where we need to continue to keep believing God. You know, faith, when we look at the Word of God, isn't quantitative. Jesus said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Faith is durative, which means what? Which means today, I need to take the steps of faith to continue to believe Jesus for the circumstances that I find myself in right now. And when the storms of life come, it is important for us to keep our eyes on Jesus and to keep believing him. Interesting, Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And you know, we as Christians have verses in the Word of God that tell us what? "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Jesus never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's with us everywhere we go. And he wants us to keep our eyes fixed and stayed upon him. But it is the storms of life that often help us to get to know him in a deeper, fuller way. And so my second suggestion to us this morning, when storms hit your life, is to look in. Ask the Lord, "Lord, are there areas in my life where you are trying to grow me? Are there areas in my life, Lord, where you want to deepen my faith and deepen my relationship with you?" Now, there's a third storm in the Word of God that I want us to look at this morning before we close, and it's found in the book of Acts, chapter number 27. Acts chapter number 27, and I want you to see a storm that I find helpful as I look at what the Lord is doing, at least one of the things that the Lord is doing in this particular story. Acts chapter number 27, the Apostle Paul is a prisoner. He's a prisoner, and they're going to transport him by way of ship, and he warns them. He warns them not to do it. Look at verse number 9 of Acts chapter number 27. Acts chapter 27 and verse number 9. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which are spoken by Paul. And what happens? Verse 14. But not long after, there arose a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Verse number 18. They were exceeding tossed with the tempest. They lightened the ship the next day. Verse 19. And the third day, they went out with their own hands to the tackling of the ship. They cast it out. Verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Here is a storm, a mighty storm. It looked like everyone, including the Apostle Paul on the ship, was going to be destroyed. It's amazing that the Apostle Paul had to suffer the same as everybody else in the ship. But the Bible says this in verse number 21. After a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained the harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. And he tells them why. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Verse number 25, he says this, Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Do you know the third suggestion I have? Number one, we said, look up and ask God, are you trying to wake me up? Number two, look in. God, are you trying to grow me up? Are you trying to grow me in an area? But number three, I think it's important for us in times of difficulty, in times when storms come, to look out. You say, why is that? Because what God wants to do is God wants to use you and your response to help other people. You see, Paul, as a prisoner on this ship, got a word from God. Oh, he faced some of the same fears, as I said already, and challenges that others faced. But in the midst of that storm, he got a word from God. And the Bible says that he believed that word. And the Bible says that the word that he was given, he shared with everybody else. And it's interesting that as a prisoner on this ship, Paul becomes really the leader because he's got a message from the Lord to help others. Do you know the way that you can be a help to others is to get a word from God, is to choose to believe it and give it to somebody else? There's a lot of fear and anxiety amongst people in this world. We don't know what's going to happen. But you know what? You probably have some family members. You probably have some friends and maybe some coworkers that are finding themselves anxious and fearful. Do you know what God wants? God wants you to get a word from him to be a help to other people. Do you know a lot of people like to whine? Do you know any whiners? I mean, they always see the negative. They always whine about this and they whine about that because they see life through human eyes. I like to encourage people to be a shiner. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What is the difference? Somebody that lets their light shine is somebody that gets a word from God, looks out to others, and speaks up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the devil would have people believe the wrong thing about God? And sometimes people begin to question God in times of storms in their life. And sometimes people will say things that are not true about God in times of storms. And God needs his people to speak what's true about God. And we looked at this last Sunday as we looked at God and his our picture of God and how much he loves us and how much he is in control. You can help other people if you believe what the Word of God says and you stand upon it. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 3, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Paul believed God, and God used him in a great way. And God wants to use us to communicate truth to others. Look out at the needs of other people. One day, a family by the name of the Stead family decided to enjoy the sunny beach at Long Island, New York. They went there for a picnic on the beach, and while eating their lunch, they heard cries for help and spotted a drowning boy in the sea. Mr. Stead, the dad, charged into the water, and as it often happens, the struggling boy pulled him under. Mrs. Stead and their daughter watched in horror as both the boy and Mr. Stead drowned. Over the months, as Mrs. Stead struggled with the loss of the one dearest to her, she found comfort in her little home in Ohio when she penned the words to this song, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more." What a tremendous hymn that God gave to her in a time of storm in her life. And that hymn has been a help to us and so, so many over the years. We're facing a storm together. This will pass, and maybe another storm will come, and a few more in the time of our lifetime. We have hope, though. We can look up. God, are you trying to get my attention about an area? We can look in. Lord, are you trying to grow me and deepen my faith? And we can look out and say, Lord, are there other people that you want to use me to give your word to? If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, God loves you. God wants you to confess your sin and place your faith in him and what he did for you on Calvary's cross. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Lord, we love you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for what we can learn. And Lord, I pray that we would not allow this challenge that we're all facing here in America and really across the world, help us not to allow it to go by without having learned what it is that you would have for us to learn. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to trust you each and every day. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.